This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Resource Centre and I'm Maya Tan. Now, in conjunction with BFM's Innovation at Work Forum happening on the 25th of June, you can find out more on bfm.my/innovation. We bring you part 3 of our innovation series in collaboration with UCSI Blue Ocean and ECSI Consulting in Europe, who have produced the first ever study on how companies innovate in Southeast Asia. In the first episode, we looked at the general landscape of innovation and how companies benefited from making innovation a priority. Last week, we looked at how adopting systematic processes to get innovation going brought lots of ROI, returns on innovation. And you can catch the podcasts of the first two episodes on bfm.my as well. Raj Kumar is back this week. He's the Vice President of Global Consulting at Blue Ocean. And today we're going to go through ideation capacity and the impact of systematic training. Welcome back, Raj.
Hi, Maya. Good to be back again.
Okay, can you give us a quick recap of last week's findings?
Sure. Last week we had a good chat about the satisfaction level when there is a systematic process in place. We saw that the satisfaction level goes up to 65% for ideation and 72% for the development phase when there is a systematic process in place. And it reduces to 39% for ideation and 43% for development when the systematic process is not in place. And from our survey, we found that the importance of having a systematic process. And we spoke about a few examples, the ABN AMRO Bank, Caterpillar and 3M.
Right. Yep. Okay, so now today we're going to move on to ideation capacity. Now that sounds like a very complex process. Can you tell us what that means?
Well, basically it's the ability of the organization to generate ideas, whether it's through employees, whether it's through selected departments, or whether it's just from the top management. So this is the capacity of the organization to develop ideas. And from our survey, we can see that when more employees are involved, the level of satisfaction actually goes higher. And I'll talk
right
about that later.
Okay. Yeah. What are some of the techniques that are currently being used by companies to generate ideas?
Well, ideation techniques generally include brainstorming, customer investigation, trend analysis, involvement of external consultants, using technology for intelligence, internal and external crowdsourcing, and much more.
Okay.
From our survey, we saw that brainstorming is often the favorite with over 25%, mentioning that they use this, followed by customer investigation, 20%, and the third is trend analysis.
Okay, yeah. So which were the most successful, or which ones brought about the best levels of satisfaction?
Well, the best, I wouldn't say what is the best or not, but I would say the most popular is still brainstorming.
Okay.
We find that what's more important is actually internal and external crowdsourcing. That's actually something that's very, very useful. Mm-hmm. However, is a technique that is underutilized, which should be promoted in organizations. That's what we feel,
right,
whether it's from internal crowdsourcing or through external crowdsourcing.
I see.
Internal meaning that it's from within the organization. External means it's from the public.
So yep. it's a situation where the more brains there are, the more ideas you get.
Yes, absolutely. It's a collective intelligence where you tap into the ideas amongst your employees and also sometimes from your customers. So that's something that's very, very important. And this is a very good ideation technique, which is currently widely used in very successful, innovative organizations.
Have you got an example for us?
Sure. For example, AirAsia, right? AirAsia has their AirAsia Brain program, which is Big Red Awesome Ideas Network. Very interesting, where employees can submit their ideas and on how to improve the company's performance through an online platform. And the ideas are submitted and will go through a filtration process, and they'll give comments from respective departments, and then it will go through a feasibility study phase. And once it's okay, it will be taken up by the department that is related to that idea, and it will be implemented further. And the person who gave that idea will be rewarded. And if the idea is implemented, they will be rewarded even more. So it's different. So it cultivates the ideation process.
Yeah, it's quite nurturing as well, especially the reward part.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you know, a lot of employees, either they are afraid to speak up or they are afraid that they may be put down for the ideas that they put forward.
Yeah.
And secondly, there may be some who have great ideas, but they're going, nah, why should I share it with my senior management?
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
And
yes.
So I guess with the reward, it just encourages them to come forward.
Yes. And I think this is a very good process, because when you have a systematic process like this and a platform, you get everyone to participate in the idea and, as you said, get rewarded. But at the same time, you know, the rightful owner of the idea will execute it, and that will make their life easier, and that will be good for their performance.
Mm-hmm.
So many a times a mistake that many organizations make is to you know, when someone comes up with an idea, okay, it's just a good idea, you do it, you know.
Right, yes.
So sometimes that could be quite challenging. So that also stops people from giving ideas. Say,
yeah,
oh,
I don't want more work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it must be a proper process in place.
Yeah, and they can also, from a management point of view, they can also go, okay, this is the idea put forward by employee A, but I feel that the execution will be best done by a team including employee B, C, and D.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Because, you know, it's what they specialize in, for example.
Yeah,
and do the systematic processes help you with that kind of logic?
Yes, that kind of logic, and you can also build talent management into it, where, you know, you can allow this person to sort of lead these initiatives and form a project team and take up some leadership role and you know, build towards becoming maybe a business unit or even a department. It's very exciting. It's very organic, and it's really something good for the organization. It's like a multiplication of cells. So that's very important, yeah.
Yeah. I'm talking to Raj Kumar, Vice President of Global Consulting at Blue Ocean, and we're going through findings on a study on innovation and how organizations are dealing with ideation. In a bit, we'll cover what the common mistakes are in the ideation process and the importance of training for systematic processes in order to get greater returns on innovation. This is Resource Centre on BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
This is Resource Centre. I'm talking to Raj Kumar, VP of Global Consulting at Blue Ocean. And we were talking about ideation capacity. And now we're going to cover some common mistakes in the ideation process and the importance of training. So, Raj, what are the problem areas when it comes to which technique a company chooses in the ideation process?
Well, early on, we saw, Maya, that generally leaders depend on either selected departments like R&D, employees, or senior management to suggest ideas, right? However, from our survey, only 34% state that employees are allowed to give ideas, and 46% depend on selected departments, individuals like R&D, those that are specialized in coming up with solutions. And 20% state that only top management are involved in the ideation process. So it shows that the crowdsourcing, which we talked about earlier,
it's quite absent.
It's still low.
It's very only, top heavy.
Yeah, exactly. So it's still, you know, only 6% and 7% rely on crowdsourcing.
Right.
So
is this a good thing? You know, what's the ideal situation?
Not really, because you can see the level of satisfaction has to be proportionate, and what's interesting is that the level of satisfaction increases when the ideas comes from the employees, which is 54%, followed by 50% when it's from selected departments specializing in this. And surprisingly, the level of satisfaction is low when the ideation process is limited to only top management, which is only 30% satisfaction. So it goes to show that despite the disproportionate effect, you know, the ideas that comes from employees generally have very high satisfaction level. So the question is why? It's because, you know, they know exactly what's going on. But
They're
on the ground. And sometimes when it's just top down, the level of satisfaction is actually very low, 30%, when it's just top management.
Yeah, because top management, I guess there's only so much time that they actually spend on the ground and going through the processes. Whereas if you're an employee and you're doing it on a daily basis, you see what the blind spots are and you see where the opportunities are as well.
Yes.
And I guess when an idea that comes from them is being chosen to be implemented, they kind of feel a sense of ownership.
Yes.
And therefore, you know, there's a lot more priority, there's a lot more oomph placed into their work.
Yes, exactly. And that is very, very important. However, it shows that in the development phase, the involvement of the senior management is very much needed. Because the satisfaction level goes up to 57% when the development phase is in play. So meaning to say, the ideas can come from all the employees, but when it goes into the development phase, you need the top management support and involvement to see the idea through.
Right. Of course, you need approvals, you need the sign off on it.
Correct. So it's very, very a nice balance when the ideas can be liberalized in the organization and when the development is actually focused on the senior management seeing it through. So take, for example, like IBM, you know. So IBM's Innovation Jam, which they call it the largest online brainstorming session, held over 150,000 employees from 104 countries, 67 companies, sub-companies. And as a result, 10 new businesses were launched with a seed investment of totaling up to $100 million. So this is how, you know, collective intelligence is comes about, and with the support of the senior management to see through in terms of development.
And so, I guess now that everyone is connected with technology, with the internet, with devices, crowdsourcing just becomes a lot easier.
Yes, this is the best opportunity to use a lot of tools for not just ideation, but even the development as well. I mean, you can have project teams from various countries all on the cloud, looking at the project and monitoring the project. And it's really exciting, with, as you said, with the introduction of technology today with mobile apps, I mean, with mobile technologies in place, mobile devices and so on. So the world is a project.
Yeah, I remember the days when the intranet was such a big deal.
Yeah, but it sort of was quite effective at that point of time.
Yeah.
But the same concept applies.
Yeah, there's no excuse now with all the connectivity.
Yeah, and there are a lot of tools that are even free that are available right now. Yeah, I know some companies even use Facebook internally and to develop some ideas and then and implement them.
Right. How does a company get going on adopting systematic training for innovation?
Training is always a good place to start, because you start to train people on tools and processes for ideation and development. Because many people do not have the ability to generate ideas. Maybe a common phrase is always think out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but okay, fine. But how do I think out of the box? You know, can you give me some tools in terms of coming up with some ideas? Is there a framework? Is there ideation techniques,
right? Exercises, yes, to get
brain,
it out of
brain training kind of exercise, right? So this is a good place to start. And well, our survey shows that the level of satisfaction to create new ideas is low at 36% when the organization does not train its employees, and it increases to 50% when the organization provides training, but not systematically. And it increases to 75% when the training is provided systematically. So you see, training is also important. You have to provide systematic training. It's not just a one-off, a rah-rah kind of thing. So
right,
that's key. And our survey shows that, sadly, only 10% provide systematic training. They involve in training systematically. And 51% provide training, but not systematically. And lastly, about 39% of the respondents do not provide training. So training, not just training, but systematic training is important.
Okay. Mm. So what would the training entail?
Well, training such as you know, ideation and development phase are different, right?
Mm, so I know you talked about some techniques and brain exercises.
Yeah. For example, like in terms of ideation, the Blue Ocean Strategy Framework is a very interesting way to think out of the box and find ways to innovate in every aspect of the business. It helps to increase value and reduce costs. There are frameworks like the Eliminate, Reduce, Raise and Create. There are tools like SixPath for ideation. All these are actually on in the internet and on our website. Mm-hmm. And there are also like Six Thinking Hats. These are very good tools in terms of lateral thinking.
Right.
And for development phase, there are many methodologies, frameworks there, like execution labs, transformation maps, and balance scorecard, project management. These are all very good value delivery enablers. So there's also a lot of idea filtering processes to select which idea should be implemented. So every stage, there is best practice and systematic way to do it. And you don't have to reinvent the wheel because they're all already there.
I see.
So we don't need to create new processes, new tools, and so on. So there are many that are out there that can be adopted. So all you need is that strategic priority. Mm-hmm. If you make it a priority in your organization, you can put all these processes in place immediately with mm-hmm. your through yourself, to your team, or through external help. So it's pretty much whether you know you want to do it or not.
And I guess you can also take a very innovative approach when you're, you know, working out the training for innovation, for the systematic processes on innovation. You can always take ideas from the Six Thinking Hats and adapt it to suit your company a little bit better.
Of course, perhaps, course. And that's why that really inspired us to do this survey, because we don't want the word innovation to just be something that is nice and sexy to have on your wall and as a value, but there's no proper installation of process or structure or training in place. Mm-hmm. And this is now proven with empirical evidence of our survey.
Right.
So that's why we actually created this survey.
So what are some of the barriers that you've noticed which prevent companies from adopting systematic processes?
It's very, very interesting. These are what we call blockers to innovation, and also sometimes we refer them as hidden enemies.
Mm.
And I guess we'll talk about that next week. And maybe just as a teaser, you know, some of the hidden enemies include strategic and external analysis, which means it refers to market research and sometimes can block innovation due to results that show that the idea will not work.
Right.
So which means that you do a research, and because you're focus on the external, that means the market conditions are given and you can't change it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that's interesting. And the second one is an incumbent business model where the innovative idea is not implemented because the company's business model is totally against the idea.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another hidden enemy. And the third one is the company's culture, which the companies that have a tendency to repeat what they know and have done in the past and reject whatever that is new and different. So that's these are very interesting hidden enemies that sometimes we don't know that they are there. We say that, oh, let's be innovative, let's be creative, but sometimes your culture doesn't allow you to do it because you say, no, this is how we've been doing for the past 10, 20 years.
Mm.
Or I'm sorry, we can't really do this because this is against the way we do business. That's your business model. But
right.
Hey, you can always start a new company or you can diversify, right?
Absolutely.
Or you could be, you know, the market is like that, but what can we do to change the market? So
mm-hmm.
if my taxi had this this hidden enemy of external analysis, they won't be able to change the entire taxi ecosystem, right?
Right.
You can say that there's no way for us to change the taxi system in Malaysia.
Yeah.
But overcoming this enemy enabled them to come up with a solution. So we have a way that we actually even studied the evidence of these hidden enemies in our survey, see whether it's there or not. So
mm-hmm.
that's something that's interesting.
So is that sort of a process as well? Just before anything begins, a study to see whether you have these hidden enemies within your organization?
Yes, absolutely. There's a way to do a very quick survey and to see whether these hidden enemies are there. And the survey is not just answered from the senior management, but also from all employees. what you get to see is a very good start. Yep.
Okay, well, you've been listening to Raj Kumar, Vice President of Global Consulting at Blue Ocean, and we've been talking about how organizations are dealing with ideation and how they can start having systematic processes and training in innovation. So next week, we will be discussing the hidden enemies to innovation and how organizations can avoid these in order to create a more innovative company. This is Resource Center and I'm Maya Tan on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.